Welcome to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones. Presented by Brighter Day Law, listen to the stories of the people who make Colorado Springs a great place to live and make our world better every day. We want to give back to those who give so much to us.
Good morning. It's another brighter day in the neighborhood. I'm your host, Angela Jones of Brighter Day Law. And today we have a staff spotlight and our very own Jordan Bourne Hicks, legal assistant extraordinaire, is joining us. How are you today, Jordan?
I'm good. How are you, Angela?
Good. So I told you right before we started here that, like, you know, we're going to be talking all about you. And you said, Oh, no.
Yep.
So why don't we start off with, if you don't mind, just kind of like a little brief introduction and, you know, where you're from and, you know, what brought you to Brighter Day Law?
Well, we also talked about that in the mock interview that we did earlier. So I'm Jordan. I'm here from Colorado Springs. I'm a native. What got me to Brighter Day was I was wrapping up client gifts for you Christmas. And I had been working at a coffee shop at that point, and you offered me a job as a legal assistant. And that's kind of how I got started. So now I'm just like my mother's legal assistant.
So when you say your mother, so your mom, Stephanie Bourne, is
one of the paralegals.
Right. She's our managing paralegal.
Yep.
And so what brought you into us in the first place is we needed some hands to pitch in at Christmas time.
Yep, that's exactly
it. And you did a great job with
that.
Thank
you.
And so you're a full-time student?
Three-fourths time at this point.
And what are you studying in school?
I'm studying to be an early childhood educator.
So what has you most interested in that?
I don't know. I guess I kind of was raised in that field, really, because I was my grandmother helped raise me, and she had a daycare. And once I became old enough, so around 10, 11, I started helping her out in the daycare until she retired from that. And then I would babysit and everything. So I'm like, it's always just been a part of my life, helping and taking care of kids.
You just have this love for children.
Love it. Yes.
You love it.
And younger children.
Younger children. Okay, so where's the age cutoff there?
Ooh. Well, I'm hoping to do kindergarten or preschool. I don't want to do too much above that, just because then they start getting attitudes. I don't want to deal with that.
You like them in that little cute stage.
Yes.
Where they're still cute and funny and running around.
Exactly. Definitely not middle school, high school.
Well, one of the jobs I had when I was real young, I worked as a substitute teacher. And I think it was around, Danny was really little, so I was probably 20, 21 maybe.
Okay.
And I looked as young as the students in the high school. And in fact, I would come into the high school classes and they'd be like, oh, new girl. And I'd be like, sit down.
Oh, no.
So I had a fifth grade teacher named Mrs. Duncan, who was super mean. Like the first, I don't even know, like maybe the first 2 weeks in school, fifth grade, she was super duper, duper mean.
I've had those teachers.
Right. Well, there's a trick behind that, because you can always back off and be nicer. But like, especially with kids, like wherever you start, if you get meaner, then they feel like they've got your goat. So that was what I took into those classrooms. But when I was substitute teaching, I definitely enjoyed subbing in the elementary classes much more so than the middle school. Well, the high school was probably second, and then the middle school.
Yeah, middle school would be the worst.
It was just so challenging. They were
And with the little kids, you got to do activities and they learn off of those activities. Once you get to older kids, like you really can't do those activities.
It's right. Just, well, what are you learning in your classes? Like pick a class that maybe is among your favorite, that, you know, type of where you've taken a class where it's taught you some interventions with kids that age.
Oh gosh. Probably it's going to be my early childhood education 101 class. Mm. We just went over a lot of different things. I'm right now taking a techniques class.
Okay.
So I'm really hoping that those ones kind of merge together, because in the 101, we did all sorts of little activities. I had to do mock ones because obviously it was during COVID. So I was doing online and had to kind of record activities acting like I was helping a kid
with these
and not, but I really liked bringing activities into it. Like one of them was making a bridge that could hold stuff out of toothpicks and marshmallows, and that was it.
Well, that sounds fun.
It was a lot of fun. I got to build them. So, I mean, I had fun with it.
So that is a, you know, that's probably been pretty challenging, especially with the curriculum you're working mm-hmm. through, you know, the effect of the pandemic on in-person classes. Are you back in school in person now?
I have my math class in person, okay. And then my other two classes are online. I had three online classes, but one of them was, I'm like, I need to be working with the teacher, like face-to-face with kids for this class. So I did end up dropping that one before the date. But it's also just super challenging doing online. I struggle with online learning. So it was like, I can't do three.
Well, I think online learning is hard.
It's so hard. Yeah. I struggle with it a lot, but I'm figuring it out thanks to COVID.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, for teachers as well as students, it could mm-hmm. be really tough. How do you think you would feel that? Like, you know, from that early childhood, you know, like working with little kids, are you learning, I don't know, techniques or adaptations to, you know, bridge that gap?
We haven't discussed that yet. I'm hoping in this techniques class, we might touch a bit on that. A lot of the education books that we have for our college doesn't include remote learning because it's such a new thing still.
Right. Well, that's real interesting going forward, just how education is changing, how it's pivoted. Even your job with Brighter Day changed because of the pandemic. Well, you came in.
I came in after and I was already doing.
You were in person when you were kind of helping us out. But then after that, it was.
Yeah. And that's kind of how because I had to be working at the office to wrap those gifts.
Right. Exactly. Yep. But you work remotely for us.
Yep. It's kind of funny. I went from working maybe 15 minutes away to about 10 minutes away, 5 minutes away, and now I work from home. It was a very gradual, slowly getting closer to home.
Can't get any closer to home than you are.
Nope.
So, Jordan, what do you do in your spare time?
I do a lot of gaming. Okay. I'm a bit of a nerd.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, I have this big group of people that I play games with, and we're sometimes just chat, but I guess my top games would be The Sims. I love my Sims game.
Okay.
Dead by Daylight, which is like you fix things and you have to get out before you get caught by the killer.
Is it like an escape room type
so it's
of thing?
It's kind of like an escape thing.
Okay.
You're fixing generators and you can't be caught by the killer and it's fun. It's kind
of like
strategic.
What would be the point? All right, so explain this to me. So like you're in some kind of room and you have to fix a generator and get away from the killer. Like what are you why does the generator need to be fixed and why is the killer in the room?
So you have to fix 5 generators to be able to open the doors to get out.
Okay.
And then there's this killer running around that's trying to stop you from that. And you have only so many, like you can only be actually caught by the killer like 3 times before you're dead.
You can only be killed 3 times before you're actually dead.
They call it being hooked. So you get onto this hook. Ew. It's a weird thing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I played video games, but it was like, you know, we're talking, I graduated high school in 1988. So, I mean, I understand like from Pac-Man, basically the 3 death rule. You know what I mean?
Yep. It's still a thing, the 3 death rule.
You're not really done until you've been killed 3 times. So
pretty much.
I got that. So do you like, sounds a little bit like a scary movie type of thing. Do you like scary movies too?
I do like scary movies. I don't usually watch them by myself.
Right.
But I do like my scary movies.
Well, here's the thing that always like has got me like with scary movies, you get the killers walking and everybody's running. How is it the killer always catches up to the runners? I mean, is it just sheer panic? Like they're just focused? So they plod along until the person falls
down? Who knows? With horror movies, there's a lot of just stupid things that happen. You're like, in any realistic situation, you know that wouldn't happen.
Well, and that's kind of my point. I think that's why I have such a hard time like getting engaged with the scary movies because they're so ultra unrealistic. The ones that really freaked me out, like, did you ever see Cujo? It's a Stephen King. All right. So Stephen King wrote this book, Cujo.
I love Stephen King.
Old school, throwback. Okay. These are terrifying because this was a dog that went rabid.
Trapped
somebody in their car in the middle of the summer. And so this there was no getting out of the car. Or there was this other movie one time, and I don't remember the name of it, but like where these people break down. Oh, and like, and it's in the desert. Like it's between, I don't know, somewhere between like Arizona and California. Like maybe between.
Not the Hills Have Eyes,
like,
right?
I don't know, but it was like maybe between Phoenix and LA. It was just desert, like that long stretch of desert. People break down and killer guy shows up, kidnaps them, sticks them in a room. All his weird buddies come. I mean, like to me, those real life.
Were their faces all disoriented and weird looking?
Yeah, I didn't watch much of it because I was like, no, I'm not down, not into it at all. So you like those? So to me, those are actually genuinely terrifying. I also steer away from ghosts and demons and stuff like that because they're terrifying.
They are pretty.
These other
terrifying.
Ones are pretty funny. I think they're more funny. But
yeah, the one, especially a lot of the like really old school ones where they're just running constantly. It's just like, that's so dumb. Like you wouldn't actually do that in any real situation with like this. But let's see. Hills Have Eyes is one that I think is pretty scary.
Okay.
But that's also personal experience where I watched that movie and then the next night, a whole fiasco happened. It was great.
Oh, I think another one. Did you ever see Seven?
I have seen
Brad
Seven.
Brad Pitt in
yep.
it? Okay. For one, one of the greatest character acting.
Oh, yeah.
Because he became that, I don't remember the guy's name, but I remember leaving. I saw this at a dollar theater when I was in college. And I remember creeping out of that dollar theater, looking both ways and like running for my car.
I love movies that make me do that,
it
though.
It was so, and he was so creepy. He was super duper. It was the worst.
Yeah.
Well, and so I happen to know that October is one of your favorite months. So this is... must be thrilling.
Oh, yeah.
It's like all wrapped into, you know, the scary movies. And
oh, I'm so excited for October.
And it's also fall.
And fall.
Is fall your favorite?
It's I'm torn between summer and fall because I love the heat for the most part when I can escape it. But I also just love all the colors of fall, Halloween, of course.
Right, right.
So I'm like torn between the two.
Well, you're listening to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. I'm your host, Angela Jones, and we're here with Jordan Bourne Hicks, one of our legal assistants at Brighter Day Law.
Yep.
So, okay. I also know that you are into cosplay, which is like costume play.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yep.
So is that another reason you like October?
I think that's another reason why I love like Halloween.
So tell me about that. I know there's whole conventions and all kind of things. Is this tied in with gaming
it can be.
Okay.
I haven't personally cosplayed in quite a few years now, I guess more too, and that's thanks to COVID.
Right.
But I would dress up as characters from games, from movies. It's kind of just everything. If you see a character you like, you can dress up as them and it can be cosplay.
Right. So what is that? But I mean, do you go out with your friends or do you go
to some
events or how does all that work? I don't know much about that whole area.
Actually, in the Springs, we have quite a few cosplay groups on Facebook and we do meetups.
Okay.
So over the summer, we went to Memorial Park and we did a little meetup there and some people were in cosplay. I decided to go last minute, so I didn't dress up and I also don't have anything new. So I was like, it's okay.
Right.
But it's a great community. We're all super supportive of each other. We're all just super close in that community too.
And is it like, so do they go by themes or by games or by periods? Because I know I've, is it in Larkspur? There's a big, is it a medieval festival or something?
The Renaissance Fair.
The Renaissance Fair.
That is my favorite.
This is how much I'm into all of this. So tell me about that. So like, is it different things that people do or is it some people purist about like I know I've seen people do reenactments. Mm-hmm. And another thing I've noticed is like almost every adult party that I get invited to here recently has some kind of costume thing. Like there's a Gatsby party coming up and there's a Woodstock party coming up, you know, so.
Let's see. There's some that are more themed. I think Pirates Fest is coming up this weekend.
Oh, really?
I don't think I'm going to that one just because I don't have a pirate costume, but the Renaissance Festival, I love. I have right now two outfits for that, but I get like a new one, it seems, every single year.
Right, right.
And that one is more of the medieval theme. they have different themes every weekend too. Right, so they had a pirate theme. And I think that's the more popular one that people tend to go to. And that one's all summer.
Okay,
so it's like
okay.
6 weeks or something like that.
6 weeks of pirates.
Not of pirates. Oh. The Renaissance Fair itself is like 6-7 weeks, something like that.
I got you.
And it's only on the weekends.
Right.
So I went once this year, twice. Not last year because it was canceled, but the year before I went twice. Wear sunscreen.
I just avoid the interstate when that is going on, because
that's a
or at least coming back from Denver, because I avoid it altogether for, I think, reasons that would be obvious to anybody in the Springs right now, just because of the construction.
Yep.
How do you feel about those barriers on the interstate?
I hate them.
I mean, talk about a scary movie.
It freaks me out because it's in your peripherals and you see just a wall. It's like, oh gosh.
Right?
And it can be super narrow. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. So I tend to go up through Parker. I usually confine, or at least I did confine my driving to Denver to going to the airport and back. But, you know, since Chloe, since Chloe went up to Fort Collins, then we've been going up the road a little bit more. And it's a lot to go around Denver, you know.
I know. I do that when I go to Boulder. I go kind of more around rather
than
straight.
What do you do up in Boulder?
That's where I go when my brother and sister-in-law are home from Alaska. Her family's up in Boulder, so I go and visit them some of the time there, because usually visits with military are very short.
Yes.
So we try and pack as much as we can in, but also split it between the families as evenly as possible.
And so your brother is active duty military?
Yes, he is in the Coast Guard, and he is a medic.
Okay, in Alaska?
In Alaska, yep.
All right. And have you had a chance to go to Alaska to visit him yet?
Unfortunately not.
But you're
I'm definitely going to.
Because your boss keeps telling you.
To go to Alaska.
That's right.
I need to save up. It's expensive.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it, I promise you.
I know.
You know, I'm a big Alaska fan.
Oh, I'll definitely be up there within the next few months since they're having the baby.
So. Yeah. Oh, that's right. You're about to be an auntie.
I am about to be an auntie.
Are you
so
super excited?
Super excited.
So are you buying little outfits and different kind of things like that? No?
My Amazon is pretty full. I'm like waiting a little bit and trying not to get just newborn stuff,
because
they grow so fast.
They do.
But my cart's full of things like, oh, my dad said no, I'm going to go to my auntie instead.
Oh, those are the best,
oh,
right?
Yeah, because it's so true.
I know. That's super cool.
So
this child is going to be spoiled beyond belief, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very spoiled child.
Very spoiled.
Yeah, and my sister-in-law send TikToks to each other, and it's all baby-themed now.
Right.
And it's like Steph versus the aunt.
And all right, so I know that you didn't live always in Colorado Springs. So where did you grow up with your grandma?
Okay, so I lived in the Springs here until I was about 8.5, 9, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved out to... technically, Calhan. It was more of the middle of nowhere, because I was split in the middle between Calhan, Rush, Ellicott, and Simla.
Mm-hmm.
I was like split in the middle. It was 15 minutes one way, 15 minutes the other way, 20 minutes to one. So it was like right there.
Right.
So I grew up very rural.
Mm-hmm.
We had a farm. We've had chickens, horses, goats, meat rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
We've had lots of barn cats. Anyone who knows me knows I'm very much a cat person.
Yeah, we're going to talk about your cat here.
Yes. we had a few dogs.
Yeah.
Currently don't have any dogs, but hopefully we'll get one soon.
Okay. And so you grew up out there.
Yeah. 9 to about 18.
Okay.
And then we moved back here.
Moved back into the big city.
I love it so much.
Big City Springs.
Yes.
It has gotten big.
It's gotten so big.
I know, since I moved here.
Yeah. And it takes me like 30 minutes to go from one side of town to the other side of town. It is. And that's on the interstate.
Right.
Like, it's big.
Well, it took me 30 minutes to go, well, little, actually more like 45 minutes because of the construction.
Traffic. Yeah.
Yeah. On Powers that's going now. It took me almost 45 minutes to get from Black Forest here, which is close to the Citadel Mall.
Right.
And so that's, it's getting to be a haul. Part of the reason we moved to Colorado Springs because of the military, but mm-hmm. part of the reason we settled out here is because of there wasn't a lot of traffic.
Not anymore.
Right. Like Denver's an hour from Denver. And that's something I wanted to avoid, all the way around is just sitting in that traffic.
And now we're to that.
right. But
great housing market for real estate agents.
It's true. That's true. But I grew up in a rural area, not precisely like what's out mm-hmm. in Ellicott and Calhoun and all of that, but that's like another world even from Colorado Springs.
Oh, definitely. I'm so glad to be in Colorado Springs, though. I did not like living out there.
No.
I liked to be able to go do stuff, and it was like there was nothing out there. My closest friend was maybe a 15, 20-minute drive away.
Yeah. But you had a lot to do, I would think, as a kid on a farm.
Sometimes when you're alone, it's not as fun.
but that's where your grandma was?
No, she was still here in the Springs.
So tell me how that worked with her being in the Springs and you helping out with that, but also living out there.
So my school was Tuesday through Friday.
Okay.
So Mondays, when I was still
little,
younger, mm-hmm. Stephanie would bring me into the Springs. Yeah, my mom. I'm so used to calling her Stephanie at work now.
Now you are.
She would bring me into the Springs and then I'd help out there while she was at work.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of like a free thing.
Yeah, hybrid. That's cool, though. That give you that extra time to spend with your grandmother.
Yeah, and I did it for a few years and then I was old enough to kind of stay home. So I stayed home a lot.
Oh, that's cool.
That's really cool. She retired around that time, too, so...
Right. And you get to see your grandma pretty regularly still?
That one, not as much.
Yeah. Okay.
We call her my nanny.
Okay.
She's on my dad's side and she works in a school too. So it's really hard and she's super busy.
Yeah.
That woman, super busy. Yeah. But my nana, I get to see quite often when she's here in the Springs.
She's a kind of a road warrior right now.
She is, yep. And she's, I think, leaving for Arizona soon.
So that's so cool. I think a lot of people like do the RV, like they retire and do the RV mm-hmm. life. And she's really living that up, isn't she?
She loves it. She has it with her dog.
Uh-huh.
I've done a few camping with her while she's here.
Okay.
With her and my aunt.
Oh, nice. Do you like to camp?
I love camping.
Do you? Really?
I don't get out enough,
okay.
but I do love camping.
So what is it you do when you're camping? So this is also a Colorado thing that, I grew up in Florida where it's warm. So it kind of, it kind of makes sense sleeping outside.
Here, not so much.
Well, but it's not super hot. So in the summer, it doesn't make sense to sleep outside, But the first time I went to Disney World, we camped. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is the most miserable thing. And I was like 12 years old. This is the most miserable thing. I actually have socks that say, I love not camping.
Oh, no.
I do. So you tell me, my daughter loves camping. My husband, my sons like to camp. I just don't get it. So, like, what is the big draw for you? And I know I'm probably like the vast minority in Colorado Springs, but.
I just like getting kind of off of technology for a bit, just disconnecting. Uh-huh. Just going into the forest and doing my thing. I like to go where there's lots of lakes or streams.
Oh, yeah.
So there's water around.
Okay.
But for me, it's just relaxing and a great way to disconnect.
And I do that when I fish.
I don't care for fishing.
But I'm asleep outside. So it's like, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go out and be in nature and then go back to wherever I'm staying.
And then we roast marshmallows and tell scary stories. That's when I'm with my friends and we're out camping.
Right.
That's usually when I go. It's either with family or with friends. I don't go alone as much.
Yeah, I like to do that too, but I actually have an actual roof over my head.
Stephanie's getting to that point too.
it could be a function of age, but I also remember when there was a time that I enjoyed. Do you like going and staying in hotels like for fun?
I haven't in a while, but I do.
Yeah.
So, like, or do a staycation and go to Denver and stay in a hotel for a night.
Exactly. I used to like to do that when I was, you know, I was probably in my 30s even. And then it got to a certain point where, like, this is, and I travel quite a bit, you know, for various and sundry things. But I cannot, I always get so happy when I come home. That's where I want to be. I want to be in my house, in my bed with my things. So I think, you know how you know that you're old? That's one of them. The other thing is when you turn down the radio in the car so you can see better.
Oh, I do that anyway. I know exactly what you're talking about. I do it anyway. And I'm only 21.
So, Jordan, we only have a few more minutes. So I wanted to give you a chance to talk about your cat.
Oh my gosh.
Because I know she's your heart.
She is. So I got two of them. Bon Bon's my old lady. Mm-hmm. She's probably 19 at this point and still going. She's still kicking. Mm-hmm. And then Pumpkin is my baby.
Yes.
She, let's see, I've had her since she was only a few weeks old. She was a rescue kitty.
Mm.
And the vet told us that she probably wouldn't last the week. She just turned 7.
Wow. And when did you get her? Like in like October timeframe? Is that how she got the name Pumpkin, or is it because she's orange?
It's because she's a really fluffy orange cat. And when she was a kitten, she was just a big orange ball. I have to find pictures and show you. But that's kind of how she got her name. Mm. And she also has a little birthmark on her lip of a little orange birthmark because she has white on her face and then this little orange round birthmark. So it just works out for her. She's crazy.
She's crazy.
She's my little demon.
I have seen her in Zoom. Like, I've seen her just in passing. Like,
yeah. She can be a bit of a handful, but she loves feet.
And
she loves to attack.
Attack.
So she will just stalk you across the entire house and then sure, go.
Do you ever play like with the laser pointer with
her? She loves her laser pointer.
I bet, so. So
she's also very fat. So it's really fat, funny. Huh? She'll be when she's shaved, because we have to shave her because that's just so much fur.
Right.
Especially in the summertime when it just gets a little too hot, even then in the house. But her belly, when she runs or any of that, will go between her back legs, and she kind of, my sister-in-law pointed out that when they were here last, but her back legs kind of go around her stomach, so she doesn't run straight. It's more
And is Bon Bon all chunky too?
She's been losing weight just because of the age. Yeah. So we're trying to kind of get her back on track. So we have one cat where we're trying to make her gain weight and one cat where we're trying to get her to lose weight.
So that's got to be a trick.
Oh, yeah. Especially because they're used to being free fed and they're not anymore.
So I bet they're both giving you a little bit of trouble with that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've got a pretty good system going to where Bon Bon has enough time to eat. And then Pumpkin can eat her food. She has a slow eater. And we can just kind of shut them between each other so that they can't get each other's food.
Well, thank you very much, Jordan. You know, a legal assistant extraordinaire and cat manager.
Oh, my gosh. I take it.
We really appreciate you coming in and sharing your time, sharing your story with us here today.
Of course, it's been a lot of fun.
This has been another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. I'm Angela Jones. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And join us every Sunday morning at this same time and station. Until next week, bye-bye.
This has been A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, presented by Brighter Day Law. Heard every Sunday at 11 a.m. on KPPF, 98.5 FM, 1040 AM, and 95.7 FM. Listen to the companion podcast on Podbean. Brighter Day Law are an experienced and qualified team of divorce and family law attorneys. Their aim is to help you get through that emotional and challenging time of divorce and other family disputes. The mission of Brighter Day Law is to compassionately help families resolve their disputes with personalized legal representation while keeping the best interest of the entire family at heart. Their attorneys handle all kinds of family law cases, including child custody, divorce, high asset divorce, mediation, and alimony. Brighter Day Law, compassionate counsel in dark and stressful times. 225-4493 or at brighterdaylaw.com.